Well, good morning and welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church. What a crazy, wonderful week we've had with VBS. I'm sure that all of the people who were up here, including the children, are a little tired. It was a wonderful, wonderful week of singing, dancing, and snacks, and most of all, sharing Jesus with little hearts and minds. And so continue to pray as we presented every day a little more the plan of salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ. Pray that those seeds will sprout up in the hearts of these young children. We are beginning the wisdom of the Summer of Psalms. Sorry. This is the Summer of Psalms. Let me explain that a little bit. Our desire is to truly hide His word in our hearts, right? The Bible, the Psalm teaches us so that we may not sin against God. To that end, we're committing together as a church. The idea came out of the children's program, but we're all going to do this. We're committing together to memorize three foundational psalms this summer. And I think I actually have an explanation slide. Oh, I didn't turn it on. Sorry, there's a lot of... Yeah, there we go. No, it didn't make it on this one. Nope. Okay, I added a slide. It didn't make it. It doesn't matter. Psalm 1, Psalm 23, and Psalm 100. We'll post this. As a matter of fact, I think I wrote it on the weekly word. So on July 20th, right? So that means you've got a few weeks to start working on Psalm 1. Because during the service, for the reading, we will all stand and recite Psalm 1 together. Now, we are using the ESV, and I had a slide up here for an example. But here's my phone. Here's wow, it changed. We're having all kinds of technical difficulties today. So what I've done is you can make your screenshot, your main one. When you open up your phone, you look at it. There's the time, 10:24, and it says, you know, blessed is the man who walks not in the way of the wicked. I don't quite have it memorized yet, so I'm with you guys. I'm working on it. So that's just one suggestion, one way, as opposed to doom scrolling, and we all do it. I catch myself doing it. You know, you're going through Facebook or Twitter or whatever you use, and you're just standing in line at a bank or at a grocery store. Maybe instead of checking your feeds, just look at the scripture. You know, work on memorizing that. So July 20th, we'll do Psalm 1. August 10th, we're going to recite Psalm 23. Should be easy for most of us. And again, remember, we're going to do it in the ESV because I think that's closest to what we all, those of us who grew up in King James, know. And then August 31st, we will recite Psalm 100. So today, we are beginning the Summer of Psalms. We're looking at Psalm 90. And Psalm 91 will come next week, and then we're going to do different psalms throughout the weeks. But Psalm 90 confronts us with the staggering contrast between God's eternal, unchanging nature and humanity's fleeting existence. It calls us to profound humility that seeks God's wisdom to make our brief days count for His glory. This is attested in the Bible as a prayer of Moses. And it's from the wilderness generation who were intimately familiar with mortality, right, with life and death. And I want to say thank you to IBC Madrid for last week. It was really quite a surprise for you to sing happy birthday to me on my 61st birthday. Thank you for that, and the cakes were wonderful. And the psalm today tells us, number your days, right? We'll get into that in a minute, but I thought, okay, I've got some illustrations here, which, thank the Lord, the kids didn't knock them over. I do have them taped, Melissa. So these are hourglasses, and I said to Melissa, I said, oh, does that mean I get an hour to preach? But Elise told me I have 35 minutes, so I got to hurry. But 61 years equals 22,279.79 days, plus seven, so I've lived 22,000 780 some days right now. And I said that to my son, Jonathan, and he said, wow, that's not that many. I thought, that's true. When you stop and think about the number of days, it's not that much. But what I want to do this morning is I want to break down Moses' profound prayer into three movements. And each Sunday during the Summer of Psalms, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to do the first and last parts here, and then I'm going to move over here to the middle section. And so the first part is the Lord, the eternal God, our dwelling place. And then the second part is broken humanity, healing and deliverance. And the third is the prayer for wisdom. And this is the way the psalm is broken down. The prayer for wisdom is returning to Jesus. So let's pause for a minute and go to the Father. Father, thank you for the book of Psalms, for these beautiful words from David and others, today Moses, that instruct us and teach us. Thank you for the wisdom of the Psalms. And Lord, as we open your word, open our hearts and open our minds, and thank you for Jesus, who is the light of the world. And we can trust in you for everything, even for our short days on this earth. Lord, we have assent and confirm that you have our beginning and our ending on this earth planned. And we trust in you that every moment of every day, you are with us, and therefore we have no need for fear because you're at work in our lives. So thank you for the little boys and girls for this week. Thank you for the time of worship today, the singing, and may you be glorified in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so the first one is be in worship. The Lord, the eternal God, our dwelling place. And yes, I like to subtitle a lot, apparently. But there are three phrases in Psalm 90, verses 1 through 2, that stand out. Verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And this is God, our dwelling place. Now think about Moses, who was leading a nomadic people across the desert, declaring God as a permanent fixture, right? They were living in tents. And this wasn't a dwelling that was temporary. It was their eternal home. So you and I can trust in God, who is our eternal home, even if our lives are transient. Our ultimate security and belonging are found in God, not in any earthly stability or institution. He is consistent amongst all challenge. And then in verse 2, it reads, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This talks about God's pre-existence. He existed before creation, before time even began. This week, during our discovery session, a little boy asked me, okay, well, if God created everything, who created God? Really good question. I said, nobody, because God has always been, God will always be. God is, right? That's the whole point of the I am statements that we walk through. Then the phrase from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord, the eternal God, from Genesis 21:33, when Abraham planted a tree and called on the name of the Lord, he said, Yahweh, Yahweh El Olam, which means God, the God of eternity, his eternal, unchanging nature. He is not subject to time. He is the author and sovereign over time. So every day during my opening, my daily prayer, I pray these words. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and choosing me before you made the world. You are my true Father, my Creator, my Redeemer, my Sustainer, and the true end of all things, including my life. I love you, I trust you, I worship you, I receive your sonship. So I assent that from beginning to the end of my life, God is in control, and that's who he is. And then verse 4 says, 1,000 years are like a day, For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that have just gone by, or like a watch in the night. And this is God's perspective on time. Our vast stretches of time, millennia, right? We think of 1,000 years, are mere blips to an eternal God. And this isn't a dismissive statement. It is about his transcendence. So for application, our lives, fleeting as they are lived before an everlasting God who is our unchanging refuge. The truth grounds us and fills us with awe, reverence, and holiness. And I've got a quote from Dallas Willard that I found this last couple of weeks. He said, "Worship is the intense focusing on a surrendered will with the mind and feeling on the greatness of God." Worship is the intense focusing attention, right, of a surrendered will, all to Jesus I surrender, with the mind and feeling on the greatness of our eternal God. When we worship the Most High God, we are secure against sin and against evil. The most powerful act we can do is worship. The most powerful thing we can do is stand before Almighty God in worship. When we are in union with God, standing in his presence in worship, we cannot be in rebellion or allow ourselves to go against God. This is truly the safest place for you and me to be. So against the backdrop of an eternal plan, the psalm sharply contrasts the brevity or shortness of human life. So during this authentic, genuine time, and that's the next point, be authentic, genuine, true, broken humanity, healing, and deliverance. I want to come over here because, we're running out of time. I want to talk with you guys. And yes, I have notes, but I just want us to kind of have a conversation, even though it's mostly one way. When we look at this middle section, that's the third. 3, 5, and 3:11. "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.' You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They're like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning, it blooms and flourishes. But by evening, it's dry and withered. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve." Wow. Sometimes the Psalms are brutally honest. And if you look at the context, right, you have the children of Israel going through the desert, and what happened when they disobeyed? 3,000 people died, right? There were disobedience and punishment, God's anger with sin that sometimes we have a hard time with. In verse 3, it says, "Dust and breath, the suddenness of death, life is swept away like a flood, a fleeting dream." And the vulnerability of life, it reads, "Grass, like grass, beautiful for a moment and then gone." This speaks to our frailty and our mortality. And then life under God's anger, the consequences of sin. This passage explicitly links human suffering and brevity to God's displeasure with sin. And don't forget the context. They were consistently disobeying. And then it talks about 70 or 80 years. This is a stark reminder of life's finite nature that is often marked by hardship. And this isn't meant to cause despair. Right? Sometimes I think when we read the psalm, we despair a little. But it's supposed to lead us to profound humility and honesty about our condition. It should strip away all of our arrogance and remind us of our complete dependence upon God. Our lives are precious because they are so brief. So the subtitle of this series is Living in the Goodness of God. We're having all kinds of technical difficulties today. I hope you can read the stuff that I've got up there. Living in the goodness of God. The Psalms talk about living under the shadow of his wing, right? Being safe, right? Jesus said, if I could couch you together looking over Jerusalem and the people as a chicken, you know, a hen cuddles her chicks. You may ask, can I really trust God? Am I safe with God? Or do I really want what the Lord has promised? What is going to happen to me if I do? And this is the universal question. What's going to happen to me if I trust in God? The only answer to that is given in the Word, the Bible, and through Jesus, who came and showed us how to trust in God. All the wonderful promises in his word are for you and for me. We simply have to find the way to understand what to do, our part, in order for us to be transformed on the inside. This involves understanding brokenness, healing, and deliverance. And each week as we come to this time, I really want to be transparent, honest, vulnerable with you about healing, brokenness, healing, and deliverance. The source of brokenness is self-will. Now pay attention to that. The source of all brokenness is self-will. And that doesn't mean will is bad, because will is good. God gives us, we're created creators, right? We're supposed to make things, we're supposed to do things, and the will is what allows us to do things, to act with our intention and our body and our mind. But self-will, defined as individuals and groups to get what they want regardless of what they do to themselves or others. The self-will is my desire to do whatever it takes, no matter how much I hurt myself or I hurt others. That's the self-will. And because of the self-will and the drive to get what we want, we live in a world of disappointment, insufficiency, insult and injury, and hurt. Mental, emotional, physical, and social, with scarred and dysfunctional, pain-filled souls and bodies. In the middle of all this, God comes to heal us. In a few weeks, we're going to do Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? I lack nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. Remember, I said earlier, the safest place we can be is in his presence, in worship, right? The most powerful thing we can do is be in union with God, allowing him to work in our lives as he brings about healing and deliverance. Jesus as our good shepherd. Healing begins when we turn from our self-will, we repent, receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And that's what we've been teaching this week, each day in VBS, helping the children to understand how they must receive the gift of salvation and trust in Jesus, right? Repent and confess. We have A, B, and C words for that. Deliverance comes when we learn to be apprenticed to Jesus and work with him, doing our part to be transformed
on the inside. I want to be very clear about this. Salvation happened on the cross, Jesus' work, 100%. There is nothing you and I can ever do to earn salvation. It is a free gift. All we must do is receive it. But sanctification is not automatic, right? Did God brush your teeth for you this morning? No. Remember, he made us creative and he gave us tasks to do, right? There are a lot of things that you and I have to do for ourselves, and that's just one example of it. We must learn to participate with Jesus, what he plans, what he wants to do in your life. So given this stark reality of Psalm 90, 3 through 11, what is our proper response? The psalm moves from lament to a plea for wisdom. And this is part 3. The response, a prayer for wisdom or returning to Jesus. And this is verses 12 through 17, and I want to read it. Teach us, and by the way, I'm reading from New Living Translation. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. I think that's the heart of the psalm, asking God to teach us so that we can grow in wisdom. Oh Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity. Have mercy on us, your servants. Verse 14, satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love so that we may sing for joy to the ends of our lives. Right? That's what we want. 15, give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. At 61, I can tell you my prayer is that God would take the wrong, the hurt, the trauma inflicted, but that I also inflicted, and turn it to good. That he would do his work and replace those evil years with good. Verse 16, let us, your servants, see you work again. Let our children see your glory. Isn't that appropriate for VBS? That's our prayer. And may the Lord your God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. So a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom, it reads. The crucial prayer is, this is the heart of the psalm. Number our days, another version reads. This isn't morbid counting, but a sober, prayerful acknowledgement of life's shortness, its brevity. The goal, wisdom. This wisdom isn't just intellectual. It's practical, spiritual discernment for how to live in the light of eternity. Living intentionally and purposefully, right, as we participate with God. And then a plea for God's favor and joy. This is the turning point of this psalm. The psalm shifts from God's anger to his unfailing love. He asks the psalmist for restoration, joy, and the visible manifestation of God's work. What you and I can pray and ask the Lord to do. Joy in the midst of brevity. This recognition of life's brevity should not lead us to despair, but to a deeper hunger for God's presence and his joy. And then prospering the work of our hands. It reads, may the favor of our Lord, the Lord our God, rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, it repeats, establish the works of our hands. And this repetition underscores the deep desire for God's movement and lasting impact. The culmination of wisdom is a life lived for God's purpose with his blessing. We desire our efforts to produce eternal significance. So how are we numbering our days? That one just ended. That must be a 30-minute clock. I only have a few seconds left. What work of our hands do we want to God to establish for us? So living in the light of eternity, the recap is God is eternal. our unchanging dwelling place, sovereign over all time. We are frail. Our lives are brief, like a whisper, like the fading grass. But the call to wisdom is to number our days so that we live intentionally, seeking God's favor and investing our lives in everlasting work. So a challenge, how can you live differently this week, knowing the brevity of life and the eternity of God? What small steps can you take to number your days? Perhaps spending more time in prayer, prioritizing intimate relationships, or investing in eternal things. So I'm going to pray 1, 2, 12 through 17. So join me in standing as I pray this psalm. Lord, through all generations, you have been our home, our resting place. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. Teach us to understand how precious life is, so that we may grow in your wisdom. O Lord, return to us the joy of your salvation. Don't delay. Have mercy on us, your servants. Satisfy us each morning with your never-ending love, so that we may sing with joy to the ends of our days. Give us gladness in proportion to the former misery. Replace those evil years with good. Let us, your servants, see your work again, and let our children see your glory. And may you, Lord our God, show favor upon us and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.